I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fixy Everything EPL podcast. My name is Jordan Gifkins. Alongside me is the Metropolitan Jake White.
Hello.
I don't know what that means at all. I was meant to say
fucking ice cream.
Yeah, that one.
Is that a fat joke?
No, it's just you're a person of different colours.
I'm creamy.
Yeah, you're moist. This one is episode 28 of the historic JJ's Football Fix Everything EPL podcast, Jake. So it's nice to be joined by yourself.
It's for a first.
Yep, we got a special guest today, Jake White.
Hi, guys.
Hey guys, it's TC now. We have EPL to talk about today, as we tend to do on the EPL podcast.
I thought we were going to talk about the Saudi Arabian League, Jordan.
We can, if you really want. I mean,
Nasir Al-Shamrani. Is he still playing?
Probably. He's their best player, alongside Mark Milligan. He doesn't even play in the Saudi Arabian League, place, like UAE, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good one. We've got Premier League to talk about today. We've also got more Premier League to talk about today. We've also got more Premier League to talk about today. So
what about Premier League?
Maybe if we get a chance at the end. it feels like we haven't done this for a while, but we did one last week. So I don't know. It feels like a really long time since we even spoke about it. I guess me and you have been quite devoted to the A-League of recently. Just because of all the A-League shenanigans at the moment. Very nice. And we've only had one of our last five podcasts, a Premier League podcast, so that's probably something to do.
That's incredible scenes at the Bernabeu.
Absolute scenes at Tottenham. but we'll kick things off with a review. Let's do it. Let's jog on to the review. West Bromwich Albion hosted AFC Bournemouth in this encounter. Josh King opened the scoring in the 5th minute with a penalty. Craigie Dawson then scored in the 10th minute before Gareth McCauley in the 21st minute. And that's how it remained, Jake. A good win for West Brom at home. They had a similar amount of shots. They had absolutely none possession. No possession whatsoever. Well, they had 32%, but no possession. Bournemouth played them off the park at times, on the ball, but could not capitalise.
Good team, Bournemouth.
Great team, Bournemouth. Mm. Even though they lost. Craig Dawson, right back, man of the match, 8.4 rating, it says here. So that's good for him. My man, Salomon Rondon, was the worst rated player for West Brom, so I assume he just didn't get the service. Because he is the best player in the league, Jake.
Fucking Jesus.
West Brom retain their great form this season. That's their 11th win in 26. Just the 8 losses. They sit in 8th at the moment. So they're still doing really well. Really good team this season, West Brom. Bournemouth, still in that sort of relegation area.
Region.
Region, there you are. That 4 points clear of 18th. So who knows what could happen with them for the rest of the season. Hopefully they stay up, but I guess
football's time a game of inches.
Will tell. Exactly. And Bournemouth are about 2 inches above the relegation zone.
2 inches.
Not even 2 inches. What are your thoughts, Jake, on this game that we are talking about?
I'd be lying if I said I watched this game. But at the same time, I watched the highlights, so it's fine. I think West Brom deserved the win. I want a Bournemouth win, obviously, just like, I'm not too worried about West Brom overtaking Everton, but at the same time, they have been 4 points behind us for the last, like, 5 weeks in a row, so I wish they'd just fuck off. But they deserve the win, and they're playing good football. Tony Pulis has got them playing some sort of way, and can't really fault that, because realistically, I'm not ever going to beat around the bush. I just looked at my ladder prediction a few minutes ago, and I had West Brom finishing 17th this season, so They're definitely not finishing 17th this season. They've done very well. They've exceeded my expectations, and I'm sure a fair few people's expectations, but can't fault them, really. They're just grinding through games right now, and they're not playing the most flashiest sort of football. I don't think a Tony Pulis side's really renowned for playing flashy sort of football, but they're grinding out results, getting wins every week, so fair play to them.
Yeah, they deserve all the credit that comes their way. Tony Pulis. Pulis, like you said, is doing a very good job. They're a very hard manager to play against. We'll move on here to Hull City versus Burnley. I just noticed the Southampton Arsenal game was postponed. Not sure when until. But Hull City at home to Burnley. This game was pretty tight. Huddleston, 72nd minute score from the penalty spot to give Hull a 1-0 advantage. Michael Keane, one of the highly touted centre-backs in English football, gave Burnley the equaliser in the 76th minute, just 4 minutes after the Hull City goal. And it remained that way for the rest of the game. Ashley Barnes, in the 92nd minute, got a second yellow and was sent off. But that was that player of Bungie. The match. Tommy Huddleston, with an 8.4 rating this game. Obviously scored the penalty for them. Completed 58 passes, 79% accuracy. And yeah.
Michael Keane scored a really good goal.
Did he?
It was a very good goal. They had a corner, and he was at the back post, and he chested it down and volleyed the absolute shit out of it. It was a very nice goal.
What a player.
He's going to do that for Everton next season, hopefully, if you have your time.
Hull City enjoyed 67% of the possession and had more shots, so maybe it's 2 points dropped here, but... just one of their shots were on target. So, wow. 15 shots, one on target. That's a stat and a half.
Mm.
Burnley also hit the...
Burnley got a point away from home as well.
Just their second of the season, I think.
Yeah. So, they've doubled their season tally. Jordan.
Do you have anything to add on this game or... No.
Pardon?
You have anything to add on this game?
No, I just really like the fact that Michael Keane scored a really good goal, but yeah.
Standard stuff. We'll move on then to the next game. Everton 2, Sunderland 0. Pretty straightforward win here for Everton, realistically, though there was a few nervy moments. Idrissa Garnagay scored his first goal for Everton in the 40th minute, a well-worked play between Tommy Davies, Seamus Coleman, and then finally Gay to smash it into the top of the net. Lukaku in the 80th minute then finished it off in good fashion, chipping it over Pickford, although it looked like it was deflected off Oviedo, what a guy, to give Everton the 2-0 advantage and the full-time win. Sunderland came close through Jermaine Defoe smashing the woodwork pretty much right before Everton scored the second goal, so nervy.
Yeah, shoot yourself a little bit then.
Yeah, but alas, it was that Everton win 2-0. Most of the players for Everton played relatively well. It was expected.
Morgan Schneiderlin and Idrissa Gueye as our defensive midfield partnership is making me happier and happier by the day.
Idrissa Gueye, by the way, player of the match, one goal in this one, obviously his first one. He completed 67 accurate passes, 85%. Accuracy in those ones, yeah. And he made four tackles. So,
one of the most underrated players I've ever seen pull on an Everton kit, Jordan.
Also had four interceptions. Schneiderlin, like you mentioned before, also enjoying a fruitful game, completing 86 passes at 91%. Had four interceptions and three tackles. So. Very good. If you want to get
the tides are turning, Jordan.
Yes,
the tides are turning because this sort of game. Because we were the better team for the whole game, but last season, and it may be me just being like overthinking it and stuff. But last season, that Defoe shot goes in, and we walk away with a one, and it walks away with a 1-1 draw, in my opinion. But a bit of luck on our side with hitting the crossbar. And not going in, and then we go up the other end and score, seal it 2-0. Sunderland showed a lot of fight, to be fair to them, but walk away with 3 points. And we're silently just plodding along, Jordan. We're not making too much noise because we're not beating too many big teams, but the teams that we have beaten so far in 2017 are teams that we usually do struggle against, because Everton are usually one of those teams that do reasonably okay against the big teams and then drop points to the teams that they should be beating. And I'm very, very, very impressed that we're starting to turn those tides. And I'm going to make a bold statement, but next season Everton will finish in the top four.
I hope so. Be nice.
I think we will. I think we will finish in the top four next season.
Everton, like you said, just we're beating who we need to beat most of the time. Obviously, Middlesbrough and Stoke away, two tough games. It's always tough to travel. But Everton are undefeated in 2017.
So, hey, I'll refrain that. Everton will finish in the top four next season if we still have Romelu Lukaku.
Which we should, because apparently he is about to sign a long-term contract with Everton. Whether it's a ploy to get more money for him or if he actually wants to stick around.
Well, if he signs that contract, it's a win-win situation, because I've heard if he signs that contract, his buyout clause is $85 million. Yeah. So if we get $85 million, we can make a team
good enough for top four.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And with all the Mashiri money, and Koeman said that he rather does business in the summer and stuff, and that there will be a clean out as sorts at the end of this season. And he's come out and said this week that Everton are one summer transfer window away from competing up there with the top four with the big lads. So they're very, very happy. I'm trying to keep a lid on it because we've got Tottenham this week, which is going to be a very, very good test. And I think it's coming at a perfect stage where we're grinding through results, getting wins most weeks and stuff, but a game against Tottenham away is definitely going to be a game to test where we're at. And I saw a stat yesterday as well that Everton as a whole, like as a team, are covering 20 kilometres more than where they were, like than what they were in round one against Tottenham. So
that's good.
It's ridiculous to think like that, because then, like, even when I was watching the game against Tottenham in round one, like, I was very impressed by that and how much ground the players were covering. Considering I also saw in that stat they're covering 35 kilometres more than what they were this time last season under Martinez. So
who knows? Next season we might be covering 35 kilometres more than we are now.
That depends. Like,
we just signed athletes.
we'll just clone a Drissa Gay about fucking 10 times.
Like you said, yeah, he enjoys doing his business in the summer. It's pretty good that it's good signs if he says that, yeah, we're still signing Schneiderlin and Lookman in the winter. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to sit on this game too much because we do talk about Everton a fair bit. But, yeah, like, and it's good to see that he's notifying players as well. Like, he's notified that he wants to have another crack at Michael Keane in the summer. And Wayne Rooney as well. And, like, if we can kick off the summer window in the first week or so signing a players like Michael Keane and Wayne Rooney, that would definitely be a statement of intent as well.
We need bigger, though, Jake. We need bigger.
Oh, we do. 100%.
I'm not saying Rooney and Keane aren't big players, but we need that one marquee signing that people just turn their heads and be like, I can't believe Everton signed him.
I've seen Stefan Alshuari. I wouldn't really be a marquee signing of sorts, but I've seen Stefan Alshuari. He's highly linked with Everton.
Fucking Aguero.
As well. Yuri Tielemans as well from Belgium.
Oh, I'm convinced Tielemans going to go to Everton.
But you've got to remember Walsh isn't exactly someone that will go out and notify like a massive player to bring in. Like, he's notified Idrissa Gana Gueye, who's come in and been probably our player of the season. Schneiderlin, everyone knows who Schneiderlin is, but he's come in putting in shifts. He's notified Lookman, who scored on his debut against Chelsea. So he's not exactly one that'll go, like, notify, oh, I wouldn't go sign, like, one Mata or something like that. Like,
no, if they fit the bill, yeah, then, of course. If it's a big player that fits the bill, then just go all out for him. We've got the money. Yeah. We can.
Exactly.
We've got the players in the squad to push on, like you said, Champions League potentially, in a year's time, if we're pushing for that top four, I reckon. another year under the belt, Lukaku, Barkley, Davies.
It's huge to get Europa League this season too. If we get Europa League, then it'll attract more players as well, obviously.
If we sign nothing against Joel Robles as well, sign a goalkeeper that is a world-class keeper as well.
Timo Horn.
Imagine. We'll kick on. We'll keep going. We've been talking about everything way too long. Palace hosted Middlesbrough in the next game. 1-0 win here. Patrick Van Aanholt scoring, as he used to do with Sunderland, actually gave him man of match honours in this game. It was a one-sided affair for the most part for Crystal Palace. Middlesbrough did enjoy possession slightly more, but more shots on goal for Palace. Middlesbrough didn't do too bad. It's not as bad as a few people thought they would do away from home. They're not the best team away from home, but Crystal Palace obviously not doing too well this season. Actually below Middlesbrough, but they've not been too bad at home, and they got the 1-0 win, which is massive in regards to their survival in the league, because a loss here and a win for Middlesbrough would have made the gap between 18th and 17th increase to 3 points. So, as it is now, it's even points between Crystal Palace and Middlesbrough. So, a good win for Palace, much needed win for Palace, and I don't know if they're going to go down or not. They've got a good team still. They've still got a similar team to what they've had over the years. Benteke, yeah. Zaha, Kabay, Punchin, Townsend come in the season, not been too bad. Van Aanholt's been a good signing for him so far, from what's been seen. Sakho as well. So they've got a really decent amount of good players in that team. But they just need to turn their performances into wins, and they should survive, in my opinion, in the league. But I guess time will tell.
I just don't know. Like, it's a weird one for Palace, because I think they've got the squad that can stay up into the Premier League. But it's one of those ones where, like, you look at their games coming up. They've got West Brom away this week, which will be difficult. Tottenham at home the week after. Watford at home, which I think they should win. Then they've got Chelsea away, Southampton away. Then Arsenal and Leicester at home, then Liverpool away. So,
well, they'll beat Liverpool. We'll give them that.
So they're in one of those patches where they're sort of starting to click slowly, but then you just feel like they could go to West Brom this week and get absolutely tonked 4-0. Then that sucks all the confidence out of the team and they're back to square one. But I feel like it's going to be a battle between Middlesbrough and Palace to stay up, and they're both going to just try and out-shit each other. Basically, like, Borough don't know how to score goals, and Palace just, they'll go out and they'll play well 1 week, then they'll play like shit for the next four. So, I don't know, it's going to be a weird one. They deserve the win in this one, to be fair to them. Borough, again, not scoring. But at the same time, I want Palace to stay up, but I don't at the same time, just because I don't like Allardyce. So it's just, it's a weird one. Like, I think they will stay up, but they're just, I don't know, they've got players in their team that they shouldn't be talked about in the same sentence as relegation. Like, they've got Kabay, Zaha, Benteke, Van Aanholt, Sakho, Scott Dan. They all shouldn't be relegation battlers. But, yeah. No, I don't know.
Finishes talking, saying, I don't know. Really puts that confidence into what you said then. We'll move on to the next game here. Jake, Chelsea hosted Swansea City. Expected result here. Chelsea with the victory against Swansea, who haven't been too bad. Actually, put in a decent shift here against Chelsea. We were talking about it last week, how they've sort of turned it around under Paul Clements. So it wasn't a bad, like, they obviously lost, but it wasn't a bad result for them to go to Stamford Bridge and get done 3-1, because they were pretty competitive in patches. But alas, Fabregas opened the score in the 19th minute before Fernando Llorente scored a decent goal in the 45th minute. To make it 1-1.
Good assist from Sigurdsson as well.
Yeah, he's continuing to just pretty much assist Swansea in getting out of that relegation scrap. Pedro then gave Chelsea the lead in the 72nd before Costa finished the game off in the 84th with a 3-1 victory for Chelsea. Fabregas, man of the match, no complaints really. I think he was the best player on the pitch, and testament to him because he was out of favour at the start of the season. He's worked his way back into favour, and now he's, well, not now, he's been doing it for a few weeks, but he's performing very well for Chelsea so far this season when he's got the opportunity. So good on him. But Swansea were not too bad. I thought Fabianski could have done a lot better with the second. But, you know, that's him. Fabianski is a very weird one for me, Jake, because he is class on his day, but he does the most... Yeah, but he does the most dog shit conceding goals I've ever seen. Like, he's such a class keeper, and then he'll just cop shit ones, like, every so often.
He's literally just... Like, he reminds me so much of Tim Howard. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. He reminds me of Arda Boric from Bournemouth as well. How he's just capable of doing such good shit, but he'll cop such bad goals as well. So yeah, that was that. Not a bad performance, like I said, for Swansea. They sit just above the relegation zone, 16th on 24 points, so 2 points above relegation. I think they will survive. Just based off what we've seen so far from them, since Clements took over. So. They've looked good in games. They've obviously beaten Leicester and challenged City. Should have got a point at City. Beat Southampton, beat Liverpool. Beat Crystal Palace. So they've been not too bad. I think Palace was the first game that Clements was in charge of, if I'm not mistaken. So not bad. Not bad for them. And they'll obviously have to kick on and look for a win this coming week against Burnley, which I think they will do. But we won't get into that any further, Jake. I don't know if you watched the game.
I watched the highlights. Everton were playing it so far.
What were your thoughts?
Well, Chelsea deserved the win, obviously, but Swansea are improving, like, obviously. I don't think they're, you know... Well, they are technically still within that, like, relegation battle sort of thing, but, like, I think they'll be fine. They've got... Well, it's not like they have the players, but just Clement's got them playing as a team now, I guess. And obviously, Chelsea deserve the 3 points, and what a luxury to be able to go half the season without Fabregas really doing anything for you, and then he starts clicking, and now you can just bring him into your starting 11. Like, it's not exactly a horrible player to bring into your starting 11 halfway into the season. But, yeah, well done to Swansea as well. Like, I know they lost 3-1, so it's no, like, consolation to them, but the way they've improved over the last month or so has been really good. Obviously, Sigurdsson leading that charge as well, but at the same time, he's not doing it single-handedly, in my opinion. Llorente's scoring a fair few goals, and they made a few signings in January. They signed a bloke called Tom Carroll from... Spurs, I'm pretty sure they got him in January on loan. And so they got a guy called Olsen and Morton. The guy's called Olsen and Morton in their defence, who are starting to solve that defence sort of as well. So they're not copying like 4 or 5 goals every single game. So they've done well. They're not going out and signing names and stuff that people will not like to see on the opposition team sheet. But they've got names in their team that are just putting in shifts. So hopefully they can put this loss behind them and move on to the next game and hopefully get 3 points for their sake against Burnley this week.
Gylfi Sigurdsson, 8 goals, 9 assists in 26 matches this season. It's just crazy.
I don't think he will get it, but he's one of my shouts for player of the season, especially if... Well, I think they won't, but especially if Swansea don't get relegated as well, because, like I was just saying just then, like, it's not like he's doing it single-handedly, but I feel like if they didn't have Sigurdsson, then they would be a relegation team. So,
well, we had big raps on him, obviously, the last season as well. He was pretty decent for Swansea. Last season, he scored 11, only assisted the 2. So he's evolved his game to 8 goals and 9 assists this season.
Yeah,
so
he's a ridiculous footballer.
And he's just hitting his peak, 27 years old, pretty much at his peak now, you'd think. And he's performing really well. So
he had a really good Euros with Iceland, which I think helped him a lot too.
Just want to touch on Fabregas. He's started a total of 6 matches this season. He's been involved in 17, so he's come off the bench 11 times. 3 goals and 7 assists, and he's only started 6 times. He's I don't know what's going on with that, but he's a class player.
Yeah, he's very, very good.
And he's only 29 years old, so he's at his peak. So it's good to see, in my opinion. Watford, Jake, they hosted West Ham United. In this fixture, Troy Deeney scored from the penalty spot in the 3rd minute. For Andre Ayew, might have scored his first goal for West Ham. I'm not too sure. In the 73rd minute. And that was that. 1-1 draw for West Ham. Who I'm sure they'll take it away from home. But they had more possession, had more shots. And they smacked the woodwork. So I'm not too sure what they will take from that. Lanzini was given Man of the Match honours. Not too sure why, but he did. And, 1-1 draw.
But Lanzini's a bore.
He is. Antonio red card, so I forgot to mention. Antonio got 2 yellow cards and got sent off. So he will miss the clash against Chelsea at home next week.
Bit fucked.
Yeah.
Well, considering they got smacked up by Man City twice at home in about a month, I reckon they probably get similar treatment by Chelsea this week now as well. Be pretty funny to watch, if I don't really like West Ham, so.
Yeah, well, West Ham, they were pretty competitive with us for a while in regards to points. They're now 11 points below us, so. I don't know if you watched any of this game.
Everton Magic. I watched the highlights. I was going to watch it, but as you know, I had a big one last Saturday, so I'm surprised they even made it through watching the Everton game. I just absolutely crashed after the Everton game. So, yeah, didn't watch this live, but I watched the highlights.
Your take on it?
Yeah, it deserved a draw. I don't think either team really had any sort of dominance, in my opinion, going off the highlights. It's just one of those ones where I think if there was the team that was the better team, it was probably West Ham, which in fairness, I think they've been a lot better at the latter part of this season since Payet has left. But at the same time, they're not a team that's going to trouble anyone in the top 7 or so, I don't think. So they're sort of that middle ground with like Stoke and maybe West Brom, where they're just behind that pack that are in the top 7. So, it's similar to Watford as well, because Watford was doing really well about 2 months ago, but at the same time, they've really fallen off the pace. So, it's not a bad point for Watford.
Yeah, they'll take it. Moving on, Stoke City travelled to the White Hart Lane, Tottenham Hotspur. And very straightforward win for Tottenham here. Kane, Dele Alli. It was the goal scorers up to a half time. That's how it remained. 4-0 win to Tottenham. Harry Kane scoring his 3rd hat trick in the last 9 games for Tottenham that he's played. So, crazy form he's in at the moment. Dele Alli, obviously, young class player. Scoring once again for Tottenham. Straightforward win for Tottenham. Dominated start to finish, 65% of the ball. 21 shots to 5. Stoke did not look in it slightly. I mean, you can't really complain. Tottenham are in great form this season, and they just proved once again why they deserve to be in that top 4, and we're currently sitting in 2nd. So, they should play Champions League next season. The squad they've got right now is really decent. They've even got the likes of Ben Davies, who I probably wouldn't tout as one of the better players in the league, starting on the left wing for him. So, they've definitely got a really good squad, and they're showing it, and they should finish in the top 2 this season, you'd think, finish 2nd. Jake?
Yeah, that is our 3 points. I was watching this game while playing
a bit of hashtag Peeps of any pro clubs. Yeah, they're a fantastic team. They're playing for each other. It's ridiculous how much. Like, they're not, like, if you look at their squad compared to other squads in the Premier League, you'd probably have their squad as, like, the fifth or sixth best squad in the Premier League. But the way that Pochettino has them playing and everything, it's ridiculous. And they deserve every single bit of them being second right now, because the pressure they put on opposition teams when they have the ball and everything, and Kane and Ali and Modric all going nuts. No, not Modric. Modric. Kane, Ali and Eriksen going nuts every single week. Van der Vaart. But no, they're ridiculously good, and they deserve every Peter single Crouch. Thing that they're getting. So yeah, fucking they played Tottenham. Well, and they deserve 3 points.
Imagine if Tottenham still had Modric and Bale.
And Huddleston.
And Peter Crouch. The final game we'll cover here, Leicester City hosted Liverpool, and didn't they just look like last season's champions in this game? Crazy. Crazy. Leicester had 30.7% of the ball and had 14 shots on goal to Liverpool's 69.3% possession and 17 shots on goal. And they won 3-1, Leicester. Great. They literally just played on the counter. All the goals are on the counter. Jamie Vardy, as he used to do, scored a goal.
Was having a party.
Scored in the 28th minute. Danny Drinkwater scored in the 39th minute. Jamie Vardy popped up again in the 60th minute. They were 3-0 up. And then Coutinho scored a nice little goal in the 68th minute. But it was too little, too late for Liverpool. And Leicester held on for a 3-1 victory. If they hadn't won this game, they would have actually been in the relegation zone. So,
good win for them, fucking frauds.
Claudio Ranieri will be fucking fuming that they couldn't do this every week that he was involved. Just goes to show, doesn't it? If players aren't playing for the manager, realistically, they'll underperform. But I guess they wanted him to leave. And alas, he left. And look at him now, flying. Although you can't really put a big wrap on Liverpool, because they have been struggling against sort of the lowerish sides this season, 2017 especially. So, don't know. But great win for Leicester. Really good win. A needed win for them to survive in the league this season. And maybe it will kickstart their season a little bit, and they'll go on a bit of a run and survive in the league, Jake.
You just never know.
Yeah,
you really just never know, Jordan.
Magical cup.
They deserve the win. I'm happy they got the win. I fucking do not like Liverpool, as it's well documented. But yeah, I reckon there'd be a fair few people within the Claudio Ranieri camp that wouldn't be too impressed.
No, I wouldn't think so.
But what could you do, realistically?
In fairness, Leicester beat City 4-2 at home, so they've got they do get up against the big teams at home, but
no, they don't. They lost Everton 2-0.
Ah, yeah, fair enough. But in regards to top four or five teams,
they
do pretty well.
I don't know. I wish that they'd just go down, just because I don't like the fact that, like, you can tell that it just. They weren't playing for Ranieri, because, like, I saw an interview, someone interviewing Schmeichel, and the interviewer asked if you could look into my eyes and say that the players had nothing to do with the sacking of Ranieri, and, like, he was, like, looking around the room while saying, like, oh, no, we still liked Ranieri and we wanted to play for him, and we were shattered to hear that he was sacked. But, like, clearly you could see that he couldn't give the slightest fuck.
Yeah. But he has to say it.
Exactly. So. But yeah, I'm happy Liverpool won. I'll tell you that much. And hopefully they can keep losing so Everton can catch them. That'd be quite hilarious, dude.
It would be good, wouldn't it? That was all the games, because it was two postponed games. We won't cover the United versus City game. The Manchester Derby that was scheduled to play, but I'm not sure where it's going to be played.
I could not tell you, but I could potentially tell you in the near minutes, Julie.
I'll go through the table. Now, Chelsea still sit atop with 63 points. Tottenham in second on 53. Manchester City in third on 52 with that game in hand. Arsenal also the game in hand on 50. Liverpool, they sit fifth on 49 points. United with a game in hand on 48. Everton in seventh with 44. West Brom in eighth with 40. And then it gets a little bit steeper here. West Ham, 33 points in ninth. Stoke City, 32 points in 10th. Burnley and Watford have 31 points in 11th and 12th. Southampton have 30 points in 13th. They were doing, I thought, a bit better than that, but obviously not. Bournemouth on 26 points in 14th. Leicester and Swansea both have 24 points. Middlesbrough and Palace have 22 points, but Palace sit in the relegation zone based on goal difference. Hull City 19th on 21 points, and last place Sunderland. They have 19 points for the season. In regards to player stats, top scorers for the league thus far, Harry Kane, Alexis Sanchez, and Romelu Lukaku will have 17 goals for the season. Harry Kane obviously in great form at the moment, so it's a very tight race for the top. Even Diego Costa, just slightly further back on 16 goals, so also a shout, as is Ibrahimovic with 15 goals. Defoe could, if Sunderland survive the season and he goes on a bit of a run, he has 14 goals for the season. And further back, Dele Alli, Aguero, Mane, and Hazard make up the top 10. In regards to the assists, Eriksen has 10. Sigurdsson, as we were talking about before, has 9, as does De Bruyne. Matty Phillips, Alexis Sanchez have 8. Fabregas, despite his limited game time, has 7 alongside Lallana. Dimitri Payet sits 8th with 6 assists. Good on him. In regards to the best average rating, Jake, for the season, Hazard, still player of the season in that regard, with an 8.17 rating so far. 8 man of the matches. It's a decent effort, in my opinion. And that's all she wrote, it looks. Like, we'll talk about that, I think. did you find out the fixtures?
That hasn't been rescheduled yet. It's going to be rescheduled in the next week.
Exciting times ahead. We'll quickly just talk about the EFL Cup final, I guess. Because why not?
Zlatan!
Yeah, this game was interesting because I reckon Southampton fucking destroyed United.
Well, they deserve the win. I'm happy they didn't, but they deserve the win.
Look at the statistics. If my app loads. The
statistical statistics.
8 shots to United, 10 shots to Southampton. 54% of the ball for Southampton. They
should have won 8-10.
8-10. And yeah, Ibrahimovic obviously scoring the winning goal in the 87th minute. He also scored in the 19th. Lingard scored in the 38th minute. But Gabbiadini scoring twice to give Southampton a decent shout. But United thankfully won for Everton's sake. Not really too much to say on it. Kind of just covered it. United didn't really deserve the win in 90 minutes, especially. They probably should have gone to extra time. But, you know, it is what it is. Southampton didn't quite take their chances. And as it turns out in football, you don't take your chances, you don't win the game. For the most part, anyway.
Unless you're offside, when you're onside.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you do? But, yeah. I don't know if you want to add anything on that one.
For those playing at home, the only reason why I wanted United to win was to benefit Everton's Europa League chances. If Everton's Europa League chances had nothing to do with it, then there would be more of a chance that I would want Southampton to win it. So, there you go.
Just for those playing at home.
Yeah, just if you're playing at home.
What are they playing, Jake?
Rory McIlroy PGA Tour.
Oh. Really? Yeah, I don't know. Jake, do you have a fantasy scout report, potentially?
I don't, but I have a football brain, Jordan.
All right, let's get to it.
Jake White's football brain.
JJ's football. Jake White football brain.
My hot player for this week, and I'm not going to go off any fantasy things because my fantasy at the moment is not loading. So I'm going to say my hot player is Harry Kane, just because he has scored a hat-trick last week, so he couldn't be any more hot right now. And coming up against Everton, there's a fair chance that he will score just because he doesn't like me. He messaged me on Twitter saying he doesn't like me, Jordan.
Oh, really?
No, he didn't. but, yeah, I reckon he's rather hot at the moment. He's steaming, as a matter of fact. And, if you want an informed player, Harry Kane's your man.
Oh, I might just bring him in then.
Yeah, I did actually. I got rid of Diego Costa and put in Harry Kane. Because I got rid of Alexis Sanchez and put in Eden Hazard as well.
I have to take Antonio out because he's suspended.
He is, yes. My cold player for this week, Jordan, is none other than... my cold player for this week is Alexis Sanchez. Just because at a player at that price, you'd want them doing stuff every single week. And he did not do anything in the postponed match against Southampton. So my cold player.
Just the last game he played, he scored 15.
he was postponed last week.
He literally scored two goals in the last game he played.
No, he didn't. He didn't do nothing in the postponed game. So he's my cold player at the moment. And my bargain. This guy's my bargain because he is a bargain. Is Manolo Gabbiadini.
I'm fairly sure I said that last week.
He's back again for another round. He's
after his postponed game.
He played his heart out the postponed game and then backed it up 24 hours later, scoring a brace at Wembley. So you can't really ask much more from him. And he's done well. Me and Jordan have discussed this midweek as well. He's going to score goals this season. He's going to score a lot more goals this season because he is the Southampton version of one Nikita Jelovic. He will play his heart out for the rest of the season. He'll score a lot of goals. And then he will do fuck all for the rest of his career at Southampton post this season. So get him while he's hot. And a bargain. That was... Jake White's football brain.
Nice, I like it. Let's crack on, mate. Crack on with the preview. Let's preview some football. Because that's what we do here at JJ's Football Dicks. Manchester United host Bournemouth. Did you know, Jake, this will be the fourth Premier League meeting between the sides. United winning two of the previous three. The actual other result was a loss, believe it or not. They have a 100% home record against Bournemouth. I don't know. Every app, every update just seems to give me stats now. Like little facts and figures. Realistically speaking, United are 6th, Bournemouth are 14th.
And my phone's about to die.
So, United's going to win.
What am I meaning? My phone's about to die. We're in a world-class studio with microphones.
Yes, we are.
In the bathtub.
Yes.
United are going to win, let's be honest here. I like Bournemouth, I hope that they prove me wrong, but if I'm blatantly honest, I think United at Old Trafford will have a field day and they will get themselves momentarily out of sixth place, Jordan.
West Brom host Crystal Dicks and...
Crystal Cox.
West Brom have never lost a home Premier League match against Palace. So,
and that will continue this week when they beat Crystal Palace 3-0.
8th versus 18th. I think you're pretty on the ball there. Watford host Southampton. This could actually be a pretty good game. Watford have won one of their five Premier League clashes against Southampton. Well, the last victory came back in December 1999. So, it's a long time between drinks. What are you laughing at?
I don't know, like, what makes you look at Watford versus Southampton and think that it's going to be a good game?
Because the Bet365 bets odds say that it's $3.60 for Watford, $2.20 for Southampton, which means both teams are going to score.
I just don't know how Watford versus Southampton screams out as a good game.
You watch. This is going to be a game of the round. I give a fuck. Yeah, Watford haven't beaten Southampton since 1999. So, interesting. I don't think...
Fucking hell, that's a first in.
It's in the Premier League, by the way. Not.
In the... Yeah, they've only been in the Premier League for like 2 seasons.
Yeah. So let's kick on, because I think it's going to be a draw.
I think it's going to be a nil-all draw, just because you said it looks like it's going to be a good game.
Both teams score, game of the round. Turns out to be a nil-nil draw, can you imagine? Swansea hosting Burnley, and I think Swansea's going to continue their ripe form. Swansea, I just called him Swansea. Swansea have won all three of their previous Premier League meetings against Burnley with a 1-0 scoreline. I literally think it's going to be 1-0.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 4-3 score.
Burnley have...
I think Sigurdsson's going to get 3 assists and a penalty goal.
Swansea?
Yep.
Oh, Burnley, sorry, have never beaten Swansea at Liberty Stadium. And their last win in Swansea came in December 1995. I think that's just a general stat. I don't even think that's like Championship alone or Premier League alone or anything. I literally think they haven't won in Swansea for 22 years.
Really?
Interesting.
That's incredible, Jordan.
Yeah, completely incredible. Another stat, record-breaking stat potentially. No Premier League side has ever recorded 4 consecutive 1-0 victories over the same opponent. Swansea could achieve that against Burnley on Saturday. So, I don't know. If they do, then they break the record book. But are they going to win 1-0? I wouldn't put it past a 1-0 win either. So who knows? Who bloody knows what the result's going to be? But I think it's going to be a victory for Swansea, Jake. Delve any further in that? You...
No, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, if you want to get in the Bet365 bet of the week, for a team that has only got 2 points away from home versus a team that is playing well under a new manager, Swansea are paying $2 to win. So get involved in that, because we've just given you reasons. And watch them draw.
Probably.
Stoke City host Middlesbrough. Another big game.
This looks like a game of the
round. How bad are these games? Just saying.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to be watching Premier League at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Stoke City. This is the first Premier League clash between the sides of the Bet365 Stadium since March 2009, where Stoke won 1-0 via a Ryan Shawcross goal.
It's probably going to be the exact same. I'm actually going to put $5 on it being the exact same.
What, 1-0
Stoke to win 1-0 through a Ryan Shawcross goal.
Yeah. Stoke have actually
doing it
scored.
Right now.
Stoke have scored exactly 1 goal in each of their last 7 league matches against Middlesbrough.
That's incredible.
So in the last 7 games, they've scored 1 goal every single fucking game.
But that is a stat for the ages.
One for the ages, isn't it? I put it on. 1-0, Ryan Shawcross is going to score. Or Defoe. More likely Defoe. look, I think we're both going to opt for
Why is Defoe going to score for Stoke?
Because I don't know. He plays for Sunderland. They're literally Stoke and Sunderland the same team, in my opinion. They had the same kit, same colours. Oh, it's so hard, isn't it?
I don't know how to do it.
What?
I've got Stoke 1-0, but I don't know how to add in a goal scorer.
It's in the specials.
Huh?
It's in the specials, isn't it?
Couldn't tell you. I'm currently in match specials. Winning margin, lead. Yeah, we should probably get into this after the
$5.50 for Stoke to win 1-0. First goal scorer, Ryan Shawcross, is paying $26.
So just multiply that. What's that? 26 times $5.50.
$143,
Jordan. $143. So if you put $5 on that. 143 times 5, $715. You'd be printing money, fellas.
Shawcross to score in 90 minutes and Stoke to win is paying $17. Wouldn't you rather just have Shawcross to score? Oh, no, wait. that was Shawcross to score first. So if you want the 1-0 win, that means Shawcross has to score first, so $26. Or if you want Shawcross to win, but a Shawcross to score and Stoke to win is $17.
It's incredible.
It's absolute scenes here at the Bet365 Stadium. This is on Sportsbet.
We're teaching our friends that listen how to print money right here.
Yeah, this is the epitome of success. Leicester City host Hull in just a continuation of this fantastic round of Premier League action. This is the fourth Premier League meeting between the sides, with both sides claiming one victory each in the three previous games with one draw. One victory in the previous three. Wait, what happened in the other meeting?
Basher Baden.
Fourth. What?
Fourth.
I don't know. Leicester's going to win.
I think it's going to be a draw. I think Hull City are going to turn up to the King Power Stadium with their tails wagging.
Oh, shit. Leicester, Liverpool. Anfield. Arsenal. Liverpool are unbeaten in their last three home Premier League games against Arsenal. One win, two draws. There have been 16 goals scored in those three games at Anfield, an average of 5.3 a game. Fuck me. That's a fucking fair amount. The last, most recent game at Anfield between the two sides ended 3-3 last season. The Reds have only kept two clean sheets in the last 22 Premier League games against Arsenal. And none in their 10 meters at Anfield since 2006. So I think there's a bit of a cheeky bet in here. Arsenal to fucking... or both teams to score in a draw game, maybe?
Yeah, I'm hoping this is an absolute fucking blockbuster. 4-4, Arshavin's going to score all four.
Imagine if he just comes out of retirement for this game and scores four. I'm just saying. Look, I was trying to get a bet up for this game, but if you want result of draw and both teams to score, it's paying 420. Blaze it. So yeah, I don't know. Get on it. The next game we'll cover, Jake. I don't know. You're going for a draw, are you? Yeah.
Yeah, 4-4.
Tottenham host Everton in the next game, and this will be an intriguing one. Spurs are unbeaten in 8 Premier League games against Everton since the 2-1 defeat at Goodison Park in December 2012. Yelovich!
Figure Apostolos Velios.
Apostolos Velios. Oh my god.
Fucking scissor kick assist. What a fucking
human. Everton have won 3 of 24 away games at White Hart Lane. All three wins coming consecutively between 2006-2008. That's a fucking very good effort. But they're going to win their fourth here. So I reckon Everton's going to get up. Woo!
Yeah, Tottenham.
Yep, don't blame me. Sunderland host Man City. Jake, I'm going for a Sunderland win.
I'm going to agree with you, Jordan. They are going to win 4-0. And Lamine Kone is going to score all four. So he could be the hot player next week in Fantasy Scout.
I don't care what anyone says. Sunderland, $11 to win. I'm putting $100 on it. That's a decent one. $1,100 return. You got to get around it. Anyway, Sunderland to win for me. Jake, what do you reckon? Sunderland as well?
Yep.
Good man. West Ham host Chelsea without Antonio. This is the first league meeting between the sides of the London Stadium. The Hammers have won just 2 of their last 10 Premier League games against Chelsea at Upton Park. So Chelsea have good away form against West Ham. And they will continue, I reckon, with a away win at West Ham. Jake.
Yeah, Chelsea will win, 100%.
That's good. The last game we'll cover here, Man City versus Stoke City, is actually on Thursday next week, so we have a bit to talk about next week's podcast. Not that it really matters. but City are probably going to win this game, aren't they? Haha, which one? Manchester.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Third v 10th, surely. City have actually scored 8 goals in the last 2 games against Stoke. So, They've actually scored 4 goals in the game in 3 of the last 4 games between the sides. So, YOLO. Yeah. Look, Jake, I think that's all we've got time for today, to be honest. If I'm not mistaken.
It's cute, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a shit so bad for all my listeners out there. Just got to go straight to the toilet after this. But we'll be back, obviously, on Tuesday for the A-League hour, which we'll be talking about the A-League. but until then, Jake.
Have a nice.
Is I'm on top of the world. Hey. I'm on top of the world.